Welcome in, everyone, to a special episode of the Nonprofit Insider Podcast. A little episode to hold you over until at least December. It's the holiday season. Whew, I'm not gonna lie, I'm still like, what just happened with the election? Oh my gosh. So then we got the holidays coming up, Thanksgiving. There's gonna be some interesting conversations that are gonna happen at the Thanksgiving table. So a special episode. I want to talk about student loans. I'm gonna get to it here in a second. Just a quick thing. I'm taking off Turkey Day, so no episode next week. I was like, let me just give you two episodes 2 weeks in a row. This way I can take off Turkey Day, chill, relax, and don't have to put anything out. You all are busy. You don't want to listen to me as you drive to Albany, New York for the holidays. You're driving to Indianapolis. There's some interesting conversations. I'll share more about what I'm doing after we get back. And so we'll have the next episode December 4th, so look for that. Okay, look, let's start with this. I've been saying for years that student loans are the next financial bubble. In 2008, the world entered, at that point in time, the greatest economic crisis since the Great Depression. It was called the Great Recession. Remember that? I almost called it the Great Depression. It was called the Great Recession. And it was called that for a reason. Unemployment rate hit a high of 10% at its highest point. 3.1 million foreclosures. Rows and rows and rows of empty houses in Nashville, Las Vegas, Miami. Remember that? McMansions, all of a sudden, empty. Families destroyed. Some that are still reeling from the effects to this day. Some that are not as well off as they wish they would be because of that. And some that just simply are like, damn, if it wasn't for that fucking 2008 recession, right? Some thought that the recession was through shady business practices, other through predatory lending. There's a whole litany of reasons. I mean, I just talked with a person in my circle not long ago who had their parents lost a home during the Great Recession. I hadn't heard that in a couple years. It's been a while, but just hearing them say it, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, that honestly wasn't that long ago. It was a bubble and it popped. And what was one of the biggest quotes to come out of the 2008 financial crisis? They said what? Too big to fail. Banks, insurance companies, mutual fund holders, credit card companies, major car companies, they were what? Too big to fail. That's what they said. Some of us didn't believe it. Of course, I mean, that's how a lot of people forget. That's how the 2000 Occupy Wall Street began, right? Because they were saying, no, it's too big to fail. Well, wait a minute. And it was like a moment for a lot of people. Wait a minute. If they all get help to the astronomical degree, where's my help? And then another sector of society that also said at the same time, on the same flip of the coin, wait a minute, all these rich people were doing all these things and they really only got a slap on the wrist. I kind of feel like that's like the 1%. Only certain people in certain clubs are getting those types of deals. For the rest of us, it's like, what the fuck, right? And how was that fixed? The United States ended up putting $700 billion into various companies, industries. I mean, companies like Wells Fargo, Citigroup, Bank of America, JP Morgan, Chase. I mean, AIG, remember that? Like a lot of banks failed eventually too, like Wachovia and the likes. I mean, it's estimated that when it comes to student loans, it's estimated that it will cost America $1.6 trillion to cancel all student loan debt. $1.6 trillion to cancel all student loan debt. Now, look, we know there's certain parts of student loan that some of it is more complicated than others. And I get the reasons why there's so many different beliefs around student loans. Because, look, student loans, they constitute a lot of things. undergrad degree, master's degree, doctor's degree. Some people get second undergrad, second master's. Like, there's levels to it. And rightfully so. With education, you should have the right to explore as deep as you want and desire in those things. And it does cost money. So I get where a lot of people will say, student loan debt. Like, you went to undergrad and then you went to got your grad school and you got a PhD and you want me to take care of your student loans. Okay, look, I get it. I can't talk about every single layer of student loans. I really can't. But for the purposes of this, I oftentimes, when I'm talking about student loans, I'm talking about undergrad and to a degree, master's degrees. But even if you take away graduates and doctor's degree, just do undergrads, right? Just do undergrads. Even if $1.6 trillion cancels all student loan debts, imagine if you gave that, you know, cut that in half. And let's say just in half. You know what? Fuck it. Let's just say the same number mixed with a little bit of inflation, if we're being honest, that the big banks and bailouts got back in 2008, 9, 2010, right? For the financial crisis. Imagine if we approached so much of the everyday person just like we did those big banks. Those big banks and companies and credit card groups and insurance and mutual fund holders and stockholders. I'm trying to think of all the buzzwords. You know all the buzzwords, right? Well, all those organizations got the money and they were too big to fail. If 42% of Americans, actually, I'm jumping ahead. But just to think about all the people that have student loans and imagine if that debt was taken care of. Imagine if just $900 million, which, listen, I get it. It sounds like a lot. Like, I understand. It's a lot of money, $900 million. But Bank of America got $700 million, and so did Wells Fargo, and they had fake accounts. So, maybe Susan, Muhammad, and Ted from down the street can get a little bit of that, too. All right. I read an article published by the St. Louis Federal back in July of 2011 that basically asked if the housing crisis was predatory lending or was it household overreach. Here's my opinion when it comes to student loans. It is absolutely predatory. But not in the way you think. Not in the way you think. A lot of different aspects of student loan come from a cyclone, almost a near perfect storm to an industry that historically was not super big, right? As more and more people move into the city, the way we do education, mine resources, the effectiveness of society as a whole, we're just getting better at doing a lot of things with actually less resources. Right? 50%, I think it's like 50... I think it's supposed to be like 60% of all the world is supposed to be living in cities of 500,000 people or more by like 2035 or something like that. More and more people live in cities and they don't do farming. They don't dig ditches. That's not what we're doing. That's not what a lot of people with those degrees are doing. But some are, you have to get an engineering degree to be like an engineer for construction. You know what I'm saying, right? But the loans themselves were absolutely predatory, but not in the way you think. The loan itself, loaning for money to get a higher education itself, wasn't the issue, right? That wasn't the issue. If you look at it through a microscope, at its core, so much of what was wrong with student loans and the debt that we have and why I believe it should be forgiven comes from the fact that so many of the student loans had absolutely horrendous interest rates. Absolutely. Even people that had some good interest rates weren't getting really good interest rates. You can go and buy a Nissan or lease a Honda right now. I think it's a little bit higher, but for like 2.79%. Right? And maybe you would have purchased that Honda back in the 2000s. Maybe it was like a $35,000 car. You leased it for 2.79 or you bought it for 2.79. people who were 17 years old were able to go into a college, go to the University of, I'm not sure, I don't want to name too many, go to their university or college, and they could say, hey, sign on this dotted line, here's $40,000, and this money is going to help you get a better job tomorrow. And not only were you getting that $40,000, that might be for just 1 year. That might be for 2 years. Right? So you could be walking out with $100,000. Maybe you got an undergrad. Maybe you got a master's. Maybe you did, you know. But you could be walking out, you know, $80,000 of student loan debt, and the interest rate is 4.5%. Now, tell me, in what world is that fair? Now, people will say, yeah, but you get a college degree, you earn a, you know, you earn certain amount of money over the life of your loan, so you got to pay a higher amount. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. But this is a 18-year-old. And after 4 years of college, let's say an additional two. Let's say after 6 years of college, how was that? 24. I know math. I can do math. You're 24 years old. You have $80,000 in student loan debt at a 4.79% interest. And again, and that's good. Remember, that's good. That's not 7% or 6.5% like my student loans. You got a 4.5%, $80,000, and you got to start paying that bad boy 6 months after you graduate. Good luck. That is one of the main reasons why the student loans were predatory. The amount and the interest rate that places were doing. That's the big, again, look at through a microscope. That's the big reason that I advocate for student loan forgiveness and so many aspects of student loans is absolutely predatory. Another reason, and this is something that is part of it deals with the first, but is very adjacent, is the age. You're not even allowed to drink alcohol in this country until you're 21 years old. So you can't have a drink of vodka. And look, I like the law, so I'm not going against it. It is what it is. But you can't drink alcohol. But you can sign for a $50,000 education 3 years prior to being able to drink alcohol. And don't get it twisted. Colleges still have a drinking problem. May not be as much. I guess people are vaping now. But there was a lot of drinking on college in the college that I went to. So you're not, that was illegal. But being at the college to get an education at $60,000 every 2 years, that was perfectly fine. So those are just two big things. But when you zoom out of the microscope and look at a whole, I think one of the reasons why I'm very comfortable, again, with student loan forgiveness and how I have so many gripes about it, is because at that point in time, everyone in society was a part of the problem. A lot of people think it's just the students who were the ones who were making this decision. No. Let's go back to 1998. Right? Let's go back in time to the early 2000s. Where schools had counselors and their whole job was to get you into college. Right? And rightfully so. It was when you went to college, you made more money, point blank. Right? But it turned into a runaway train. And there wasn't enough provisions on it, same as the banks. There was not a lot of provisions on it. So we all, to a degree, own a level of responsibility. Schools were pushing it, high schools, colleges, family. You go to college. Hey, what college? Or you go to your family Thanksgiving. Hey, you know, Ezra, Ezekiel. I don't even know what kids are named these freaking days. You're asking that 17-year-old at the Thanksgiving table, hey, where are you going to college? I know you've been applying for places. That's how it ended up happening. So to a degree, we all own a little bit of different aspects to college and the way it became to be. And then places were building all types of structures, and then you got to compete against other colleges. So I never absolve society, parents, generation, and the colleges that all participated in it, and the government. And the government. Because look, they were probably pushing it too. And they were saying to a lot of people, hey, listen, you have a loan company. We need some for someone to take care of this. And so the government just became a giant bank and had third parties and had no oversight. Not always their fault. Sometimes you have good intentions, but it turned bad. And when it turned bad, they didn't hop on it fast enough. Point blank. They were asleep at the wheel. So the government owns responsibility too. Point blank. And I've been flabbergasted. I was flabbergasted that student loans weren't a bigger part or bigger issue during the election. I flat out told people, yeah, one of the reasons I actually like Joe Biden, because he's talking about student loans. He's talking about student loans. Now, I wasn't going to vote for the other guy. Come on, let's be serious. But he was talking about student loans. This past election, Kamala didn't really talk about student loans. I didn't hear that a lot. So it's kind of surprising because so many people have it. I mean, so many people have it. I mean, there are 260 million Americans over the age of 18 in America. All right, here's some facts. Out of those 260 million people, 42 million people have student loans. So that's one out of every six Americans. One out of every six Americans. It was actually 1.62, so I had to round down. So one out of every 6.2 million Americans, or 6.2 Americans, has student loans. The number of kids going to college and universities and going to grad school, it keeps going up and up and up. And pretty soon, that one in six number, I'm telling you, is going to rise to one out of every five people. I'm not saying it's a tipping point. Maybe we need to get Malcolm Gladwell on the show. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a tipping point. But one in five is 20%. So, yes, for me, and people are going to say, well, how is this a nonprofit issue? For me, this is a nonprofit issue because this is a societal issue. I'm specifically talking about, you know, the entities of, you know, specifically talking about the United States, because I can speak to that. I haven't really started studying and getting into student loans at the international level. I mean, one, this country is so freaking big. I mean, gosh, just a lot of people. I mean, people forget how big the United States is. Like, some countries you go to and they're like, oh, our country's like 10 million. We're like, shit, we got like 300 million people. I mean, 260 million people over the age of 18. Between the ages of 0 and 18, that's a lot of people. So I can't speak to it on an international level, but this is a problem. And it doesn't rise to the level yet of like climate change. That is an international thing. I can speak to that. I understand that. I grasp that. It's even honestly not quite to school shootings. That is just something is wrong in our brain that we're still allowing that. Myself included. Like, what is going on? Why am I not more active in that? And it's not nearly as big as like healthcare in America. That's probably one of the biggest issues in this country, healthcare. But student loans, when it comes to student loans, and everything about it, it is a problem. Because I guarantee you this, if you're in the nonprofit sector, you have a coworker that has student loans. In fact, you probably have 2, 3, 4, 5 coworkers that have student loan debt. And some of them have debt levels that are worse than me. I've got $20,000 in student loans I'm trying to get forgiven through the public service loan forgiveness program. So there are some that have it even worse than me. And as more and more of the older generation dies, the number of people that are going to college is going to go up and up and up. And as that continues to go up and up and up, the number of people with student loans is going to go up and up and up. This is a bubble. This thing's going to burst, I'm telling you.